Before we get into the word, let's pray together. And I'm expectant for today. I'm expectant for God to speak. I hope you are. So, Father, we thank you for your presence in this place today. Lord, at a time where we are preparing to show love and open our hearts and our homes to the ones that we love and exchange gifts, Lord, we just recognize today that this time around your word, it is a gift. It is a gift. Your word is you saying to a broken humanity, hey, get to know me. The God who came with skin on in order to make it right and make it possible for relationship with God. And so, Lord, we say thank you today. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the time together that we can gather here in the room, in Olibor, our online community and beyond. And we say, Lord, would you speak today? Would you speak? In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, you can grab a seat. It's great to see everybody here for church. And I need to give a warm welcome to my crew in Olibor. Yeshua forgot about you at the start, but I said, bro, you need to come back up and say hi to Olibor. So a big warm welcome to you guys over there. If you don't know, we have a location in Olibor. We have an amazing team that meet at Hotel Compass. So if you're ever in that neck of the woods, you are, of course, welcome to our service there. And much love, guys. Enjoy your waffles today, because I know you're having waffles. Oh, they're all jealous. They're all really jealous. Well, I'm here with my girls today. Ingvild, Chloe, and Leona are here in the Parents' Lounge. So hello to you guys, and hello to everyone in the Parents' Lounge as well. That wasn't that beautiful, that moment with the kids? Yeah. Absolutely love that. And I thought Yeshua was going to start dancing for a minute as well. That would have been something. We are in the third week of Advent. And just thinking about the season that we're in, it actually came as news to me, maybe not to you, but it came as news to me that the word Advent, it actually means arrival. Arrival. And this got me thinking about how familiar we are in our lives with departing and arriving. You know, leaving our homes every day. You know, you would have left somewhere today in order to arrive here at church. Whether that's your, you know, your occupation and what you do for your job, you leave work, you leave home in order to arrive at work every day. We're so familiar with this rhythm. Maybe not so much recently, but you could recall a time where you have been the enthusiastic family member or friend at the arrivals at Kastrup Airport, yeah, or in Olibor or somewhere else. And you know those people. I actually worked at the airport in Copenhagen a few years ago and would often come from working, Antonina knows what I'm talking about, come from working the other side of security, and you know, you see those really enthusiastic people who are ready to receive their loved ones. You know what I'm talking about? They've got the flags, they've got the banners. You know, they're the ones encroaching over the line that you're not supposed to go over. And it's really annoying because they get in front of you. And then Copenhagen Airport clocked on and started putting barriers up to stop you from getting to the ones that you're meant to arrive. And so you have to run around. But we're familiar with this concept, this rhythm of departing and arriving. And it's funny because when I was thinking about this, the thing that I thought about in my everyday life is, and it's funny, whenever I speak here, I think I tell stories about Leona. I'm going to tell another one today. She's my 2.5-year-old, and I'm the one who drops her off to Augusta in the morning, and it just makes for great sermon analogies, so I'm going to give you another one. But we arrive to Augusta in the morning, we wash our hands, we have a little cup of water, you know, to get hydrated for the day, and then we approach the door to her room where all of her friends are waiting. And there is a line where the floor meets, you know, where the communal space, where we hang her clothes and stuff, it meets with the room that she's going into. And no joke, every single day, she comes up to that line and she arrives in style, just with a little hop, and then just carries on walking in, and, you know, her friends are coming to kiss her and hug her, and it's a beautiful moment. But she arrives in style. She arrives in style. Other examples in our world where we're familiar with this, sporting teams, you know, teams arriving into an arena to the raucous atmosphere that is, you know, the club song and, you know, the cheers and the let's do this, let's go, we're going to win today. Or the red carpet that we see, you know, in our entertainment world where the Rolls Royce pulls up and the paparazzi are there waiting. You know, we like to arrive in style. We like to make a thing
about arriving. I am a keen sportsman, so, you know, I do enjoy watching various different sports. What I've noticed recently is actually in combat sports, this is becoming even more of a thing as well. I don't know if anybody is interested in that, but there's like suits and masks and capes and, you know, anthems that, you know, the fighters would walk to the ring. It's all about making an arrival in style. Yet I think we need to be mindful that at this time of year, there will be many, many people in our nation and in our world that will sing songs that the team have led us in today, but with little knowledge about a quite significant arrival this season. No comprehension, maybe no understanding of meaning or the reality, but we, as followers of Jesus, as the church, we know that at this time of year, actually there is something to be celebrated and something to be said for the most powerful truth, the most unique mystery, and the greatest miracle to ever take place, and that is the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14, in the Message, I love how it's penned. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And so my title for the message today is Making an Entrance. Making an Entrance. It's at this time of year where we celebrate, where we focus, where we prepare our hearts this Advent to acknowledge and to respond to the God that came to us. And I find it interesting that really, you know, every other world religion and spirituality in pursuit of something out there, it's focused on man's attempt. Now, the what we can do in order to appease, or what we can do in order to reach God. Whereas at this time of year, the crux and the core of our belief is about a God who came to us. About a God who took the initiative. I wonder if that's something that you need to hear today, that it's not about what you need to do or what you need to necessarily get in order. This season, if anything, it's about how we respond to the fact that God came, that he took the first step. He stepped into our world. Our amazing team in Sydney, they actually penned a song called Arrival a few years ago on one of the Christmas albums. And just absolutely blown away by this imagery and these words. You know, the arrival, Advent, it's about the architect being found inside the plan. The artisan is now found inside the paint. And the author has climbed inside the page. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? And so this Advent is, you know, it's a time of expectation. It's a time of anticipation. It's a time where we wait and we prepare for the arrival of Christ. Christ being born into our world, Christ's birth into our hearts as believers, and ultimately Christ's return, that we believe that he will come again. And so before I dive into four simple points that I have for us today in our time and together in Olibor as well, I found myself recently going to the supermarket. Our family is situated nice and locally to Fertex. And so now I obviously find myself with my trolley walking into Fertex, but too often than not, guys, I have to admit, I draw a complete blank and go in, you know, just not prepared whatsoever. And end up getting things that are not really, you know, not what we need. You know, I end up getting chocolate and things that are not of nutritional value at all. And, you know, where we really need some avocado. You know, we really need some fruit and some vegetables. And it's funny, I was reminded of this thinking that I think God's heart for this message and what I want to deliver today is that we would not walk into this season of Christmas without really understanding what are the true ingredients. What are the things that we really need to focus on and really need to capture and really need to give time and attention to this Christmas in order to capture this amazing mystery that Christ has come? Are you up for that? Yes. Are you up for that in Olibor? I know you are. I know you're screaming and shouting right now because you guys are just passionate. Love it. And so the arrival of Jesus into our world, I believe it signals the arrival of four main virtues that are going to form some points for us today to explore, that have burst onto the scene in the arrival of Jesus. And so the first one, and what I want to do, quite method, you know, with some a little bit of structure and a little bit of explanation, is just walk through and look through some scriptures as to the meaning of this season, And so what are the things that we need to hone in on? Well, how can we make an intentional effort to not be distracted, to not get swept away with our culture and well-meaning things, but that we wouldn't get to New Year, wouldn't get to January without understanding and having an experience of the reason and the reality of Christ among us. And so the first one that I want to begin with is hope. That the arrival of Christ, it signals that hope is here. Hope has arrived. And in much of what is happening around us in the world right now can cause fear, can cause uncertainty, it can cause a lack of assurance of what is to come. And, you know, that's the narrative that we find right now. I saw there's a pastor in England who tweeted this week in response to a BBC News article. And basically, he screenshotted the article, which said something of a negative narrative, and just said, "Can you stop posting this? Can you stop posting negativity?" And instead just went on to encourage and say, you know, let's really believe that this is a time of hope, a time of good news, a time of joy. It's easy to get swept away with a narrative of the world being bleak, dim, hopeless. But the biblical understanding and meaning of hope describes this sense of expectation, waiting, and tension. If Yeshua were to be up here and we had a rope between us and we're pulling this rope, that's what the biblical meaning of hope actually is. It's about there being tension created, that something is about to happen because of the tension. And we see this red thread all throughout the scriptures of tension, of the people of Israel waiting, expectant, hopeful. And hope is different to optimism, where optimism looks at circumstances and just thinks, well, what's the best that could come from this? You know, what's the most likely outcome? It's based on odds. It's based purely on circumstances. But I love in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, Peter writes this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." The reality today, church, around this season of Advent, our preparation for Christmas and the arrival of Christ, is that our hope is not based on circumstances. Our hope is based on a person. Our hope is based on Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And instead of just looking at our circumstances and hoping for the best, you know, we look to a person. In fact, hope says in the Bible that we look forward by looking back at God's faithfulness. Hope says that we look forward, we can look forward with assurance, with confidence. Why? Because we stand on the rock that is Jesus. And we look at his faithfulness in the past. We look at what the word says. We look at how he's come through for us. We look at his character. It is God's character and his past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. And I want to encourage us today, here in the room, in Aalborg and online, that in this Christmas season, we can look to the future. We can look to 2022. Can you believe it? 22. 22 is coming and beyond. We can look with expectation. We can look with anticipation. And we look forward by looking back at the God who made an entrance into our world. And so no matter how hopeless your situation might be right now, no matter how dark the tunnel that you might find yourself in, we can have hope today because of a living hope that arrived on the scene in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Ready for number two? The number two virtue that burst onto the scene at this time of year is peace. And you know, we don't live in a peaceful world. There's war, terrorism, crime. Life is not always peaceful. You know, we experience anxiety, stress, sickness. And then let's go even further and zoom in on Christmas. Christmas isn't always a peaceful time. Can I get an amen? There's shopping, traveling, worrying. All day like this. Some of us are a bit anxious about family gatherings. Elephant in the room, maybe. But again, let's look into what the Bible says about peace and what it means for us in this season. Because the Bible, the biblical meaning throughout the scriptures recognizes that life is complex. And if you don't think that the Bible is relevant, just the fact that the Bible recognizes the complexity of life, I think there's some common ground there with today in our day and age. But life is complex and has its complications, yet peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. This word speaks of safety. It speaks of completeness, and it speaks of wholeness. There's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, where the prophet Isaiah is looking at the situation, but also looking ahead, speaking prophetically into the future, and says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And in this time and day and age, the kings of Israel were actually supposed to lead and live and reign with shalom. Their leadership was actually meant to bring a sense of wholeness and completeness, that they would act and make decisions that were good for the people, that would mean that the people in Israel and the community, they would actually find themselves with a deep sense of well-being, with their needs being met practically, spiritually, emotionally. But the story of the Bible is very, very clear that these kings, they fail miserably. They fail miserably. They make decisions that there is no social justice. It is justice in order to promote their name and their rule and their reign. Yet Jesus makes an entrance and brings a kingdom of peace. He's known as the Prince of Peace. Jesus has came, and Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 says that Jesus has come so that we might experience peace with God. 2:14 in Ephesians, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Jesus has come. He has made an entrance into our world and has ushered in a rule and a reign of peace so that we could know peace with God, so that we could have peace in life. John chapter 14, verse 27, the words of Jesus, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And maybe you need to hear that today. You know, Jesus never promised a life free of difficulty, a life free of complexity, of struggle, but he did promise his peace and his presence, his love and his strength that would be with us and would accompany us. Not only that we need to survive, but that we can actually prosper and thrive and experience a deep sense of well-being and shalom, completeness, wholeness. An image I want to paint for us to understand this before we move on is, if you imagine a brick wall here on this platform that has been shattered. Often the biblical authors talk about that shalom can actually be a single brick, but also in the larger context, it can be a wall. And if we imagine brokenness, a wall that is in need of repair, that's exactly the picture of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, that he comes to bring restoration. And what is broken, what is fragmented, and is disintegrated in our lives, he comes in order to bring wholeness, completeness. And I really believe to say this today, and in Olibor as well, I think there's some candidates for God's peace in this season. That God is looking to administer and to bring his sense of deep and complete well-being in hearts and lives, in households, in families. I wonder if in your own heart and your own mind right now, you would acknowledge that, "God, I'm a candidate. I need your peace in this season. I need your hope. I need your peace." And finally, Jesus ushers in his rule and his reign of peace that will what? It will last forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. How encouraging is this? "Of the increase of his government, there will be no end, and we can know peace for eternity." Peace with God, peace in life, and peace that will never end. Friend, maybe you're restless right now in your soul. There's broken and fragmented pieces in areas and spheres of your life. Well, I have good news today. The Prince of Peace has arrived on the scene. He has made an entrance, and we have access to his shalom. And the peace of God, as Paul writes, transcends all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus has arrived. Jesus has made an entrance, and hope and peace and joy can be found in this season, in a world of corruption, of selfishness, where our surroundings can often have an impact on our internal attitude and our internal world. What is joy? I love this. As I was looking at the scripture, what the meaning of joy is, we see this picture and we, you know, we understand that in the book of Exodus, we see Moses lead out the people from slavery, from oppression, into the promised land, into the thing that God swore on himself to bring about. We see him lead his people into the promised land. And they come through the Red Sea. And what is the first thing that they do? They find themselves in the wilderness, a community surrounded by desert, by barrenness. There's not a lot going on. Yet where they found themselves, it did not determine their response and their confession, because we actually see that they sing and they rejoice and they praise God, even though they're in the desert. We see that these people, they actually have joy in the wilderness. They have joy in the wilderness. What a beautiful paradox that is. And something that I think is really applicable to our lives right now. You see, joy is an attitude of us as God's people. It's something we adopt. It's something that we put on. Not because of happy circumstances. We're not just joyous if things are going well. That would be, I think we'd be all a little bit more miserable actually if that was the case. It is an attitude. And you know, at this time, in the Gospel of Luke, we see that this time of the year, Christmas, Jesus arriving, that the angels, when they announce it to the shepherds in the field, Luke chapter 2, they say that it is a message of joy. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And when Jesus arrives on the scene, we see this embodiment, we see his life, the struggles, the suffering, but we see that his spirit is not deterred. We see this spirit and this attitude of joy that he clothes himself in and lives with. Even the Apostle Paul, he's imprisoned, yet he writes, "I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith." Joy in the wilderness. I wonder today whether we need a revelation of what it is to pull on that attitude, to conjure up that spirit of joy and rejoicing, knowing that Jesus has arrived and that has changed the game for eternity. And even though what we see right in front of us is not really reason to rejoice, that we are able to look beyond our current circumstances and rejoice in our future destiny. Rejoice in the work that we know that God has done, and rejoice in the fact that it is good news this season. Anybody glad about that? We rejoice that God came. It was his initiative to step into our world, to step into our brokenness, to bring hope, to bring peace, and to give us that ability to have joy even in hardship. Hope, peace, joy. Gabe, do you want to join me? And finally, we see this beautiful virtue of love that bursts on the scene and that Advent is really all about. Hope, peace, joy, and love in the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And you know, we love all things. You know, I'm known to be a loyal and enthusiastic Man United fan. I have a love for my club. I have a love for the sport that is football. It went well for us yesterday, but it was a bit of a struggle. But I love United. But I also love my family. I love my wife. I don't think Ingvild is particularly pleased if that love was the same for her, for my club and for her. You know what I'm saying? You know, we say, "Oh, I love pizza. Oh, I love you, Ingvild. I love you, my wife. I love you, my child." But that's not the same. That's not the same, right? And in the Word, we see these different kinds of expressions and different kinds of love. And the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, it's the golden rule. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then here comes the game changer. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' arrival, it reimagines the meaning and the action of love. So that according to him, love for God, it is expressed in love for people. It's two sides of the same coin. To ask the question, as one of the religious leaders did, what's more important? What's the greatest law? Is it to love God or is it To love your neighbor? And Jesus says, yes. To answer the question is to not get it. Two sides of the same coin. The two are inseparable. And love is more than a feeling, church. It is a choice. Love is a choice to act in a way that brings well-being to others without expecting anything in return. We see the life of Jesus. Jesus moves towards those in the society with love, and especially to those who can't do anything for him, that are unable to pay him back, that are unable to benefit his social standing, but Jesus moves towards them. This season is about love. It is about recognizing that the ultimate standard of love that Jesus talks about is enemy embracing love. Ouch. Seeking to reconcile. Seeking to love those that are maybe not going to benefit us or who really tick us off. That is the true standard of God's heart for love. And this is how Jesus lived: helping, serving. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, that while we were still sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. And therefore, it's a no-brainer. 1 John 4, 11, since God loved us, we should love each other. We should love others. We also ought to love one another. At the center of our faith, at the center of our confession and celebration this Christmas, is a God who is overflowing with abounding and expressive love for his humanity. And Jesus makes an entrance to introduce this revolutionary kind of love, so that the purpose of our whole existence is to receive his love, exampled on the cross, but also to then turn and to demonstrate it. And there we're able to create this ecosystem of self-giving love that can actually bring change in our world, that can actually bring humanity to a place of thriving, that can actually bring about hope, peace, joy and love this Christmas. And I wonder if you find yourself, maybe it's a little bit hard to slow down today for, you know, our service and our time together. Maybe even in this season you find yourself and the wheels are spinning very, very fast. I really, really hope, and my prayer for today is that we will be able to walk forward with a hyper focus that this season is about the arrival of Christ and the arrival of his hope into our world. The arrival and the possibility of experiencing his peace. Of the possibility and the experience of joy this season. However many days off you've managed to get off for Christmas. I actually want to believe that this Christmas will be different than any before. That you would see the arrival of Jesus in a new way. That revelation that it wouldn't be distant, but it would be close. It would be near. It will be found in a moment where you are able to ponder and pause. My prayer for us as a church is that we can slow down just enough to see Jesus this Christmas. His love. These virtues that have burst onto our scene and into our world, and that we wouldn't find ourselves in hindsight hoping that we would have done it all a little bit differently. Just spent those few minutes, if that's what we can muster and manage. Taking that moment to pray together as a family, light a candle, invite the presence of God into our home. However it is you're going to spend Christmas, my prayer is that you would experience the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of joy, and the God of love this season. And so with that, can we stand together? Because every single week, and I am privileged today to get the opportunity to talk about a God who came first, who took the initiative in order to reach into humanity and extend this life, the things that I've been talking about today. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder if you've heard of a God who came first, who saw the brokenness and the problem, but had already come up with a solution in his son. Friend, today, I don't know how you find yourself here. I'm just privileged enough to be able to be speaking to you. And I know that in these moments, I believe that God is knocking on the door of your heart and extending an invitation for you to say, Jesus, I want to respond to what it is that you did that we celebrate this season. God, thank you that you made an arrival into our world so that I could know you, so that I could experience your hope, your peace, your joy, your love, so that I could be changed and walk in relationship with you. If that is you today, you're recognizing your need for Jesus, you're recognizing your need for the God who came in order to reveal himself to you, just raise your hand on the count of three. I'd love to pray with you today. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else here? Just a few more seconds. Can we pray together as a church family with people responding to the truth of this season, to the truth of Christmas? Can we do that?
Yes.
Let's say together after me, and especially those of you who have responded, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into the world to bring the solution to the problem that we could never fix. God, I thank you for your love, for your hope, for your peace, and for your joy that is now accessible because of Jesus. Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. And Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Let's give it up for people responding today. Come on, let's really encourage. Beautiful. Amazing. And just with another few seconds, can I pray for you in your season, your Christmas season? Can I do that? Together in Olivebourne as well, leaning in this moment. Father, we don't want to move through this time and through this season, which is all about you, without making it about you. Would you help us, Holy Spirit, strengthen us, speak to us about how we can bring focus and attention to the fact that you made an entrance into our lives and into our world. Lord, I pray, God, I pray for hope, for peace, for joy, and for love to burst onto the scene, into hearts, into households, into lives, into minds, into thinking, into businesses, into projects. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room and over the link under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray for just a deeper revelation and a connection with you in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.